of Galatians chapter 5. The last few weeks we've been talking about freedom and what it means to be free. And so we've talked about how Jesus, how he makes us approved before God and ascend righteous before God just by believing in him, not by something we do or something we have to accomplish. And so we're free from the law, we're free from our flesh, and we can just stand before God approved. But we learned in Galatians and in Romans, it talks about that you're free when you live in the Spirit, when you don't go back to how things were, but when you walk by the Spirit, you're living in this freedom. And so we began to ask the question, what does it mean to live by the Spirit? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Last week we looked at Romans, and we saw that it has one aspect of living by the Spirit is our minds, setting our minds on things above, letting it be transformed, thinking about what is good, what is pure, what is holy, thinking about the Spirit and what God is doing instead of some of the junk, depraved mind we have. So this week we're going to look at Galatians 5 and another aspect of living in the Spirit. Verse 16. So I tell you, live by following the Spirit, then you will not do what your sinful selves or your flesh wants. Our sinful selves want what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit wants what is against our sinful selves. The two are against each other, so you cannot do just what you please. But the Spirit is leading you. But if the Spirit is leading you, you are not under the law. The wrong things the sinful self does are clear. They're evident. Being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part of sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like these. I warn you now, as I warned you before, that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law that says these things are wrong. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their own sinful selves. They've crucified their flesh, that they have given up their old selfish feelings and the evil things they want to do. I love movies. And when I was in high school, movies consumed my life. I just loved watching them. And not only did it end at the movie theater, but I'd come home and I would write down like my favorite quote from the movie and I'd memorize it. So when me and my friends would get together, we'd just start quoting movie quotes and all that stuff. And so some of my favorites, you know, are some, you know, from A Few Good Men, when Tom Cruise is a lawyer and he's talking to Jack Nicholson on stand, and they're, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. I mean, it's great moments, and then Jack Nicholson goes off on this 20-minute speech, which I memorized, but I didn't refresh myself for today. Or, you know, in Clear and Present Danger, when Harrison Ford comes before the president, and he's like, how dare you come in here and bark at me like some junkyard dog? And Harrison Ford says, how dare you, sir? And so it's some great movies. I just love the quotes. And I just love, my favorite part of these movies is when the good guy would confront somebody who is trying to stop the goodness, and he would just lay it on them. Like, just like 5-minute speech of just giving it to them, putting one brick upon another, just throwing it at them. How dare you do this and do that? Oh, you're just this and that. And I just love those scenes where they just come and just lay it on them really thick. It's almost those things that we always want to do, but we don't have the courage to do it sometimes. Like, you know, the things when we're at home, thinking about a situation that happens, we're like, and we go through those long speeches. Well, how, they're not really there, but we're pretending, and we're just, you know, I just love those. And probably because I wished I could do those in some time, some opportunities I wanted to do them. But who would have thought, no one told me, that when you're married, and when you're first married, you have billions of opportunities to just do that whenever you want. Like, there's always going to be something that comes up where you can just sort of flip that switch and hear the music rise as you start laying it on them really thick. How dare you do this and that? And the other person stops and they say, well, they take 13. Well, how dare you and this and this? And man, I didn't realize you could do this when you're first married. This is like heaven, right? But I began to realize that, I think Jessica did this too, that the whole idea of just laying it on someone and giving to them is not, doesn't really benefit anybody. It's not really constructive. It doesn't build anything up. And so slowly we began to realize, I think both of us, we never talked about it, but we just began to stop doing that. Instead of laying on each other, we'd feel that impulse, but we put it aside and say, you know what, there's a more constructive way to do this. There's a better way. We have to talk about this instead of giving our movie speech that we just want to pour it on each other. There's a better way to do it. And although I wanted to do it sometimes, it's like I knew it wasn't beneficial. And so it's great. Now, you know, as I think back to when I first married, it's like Jessica and I, we never have those moments anymore where we just lay it on each other. It's now we've come to the place where it's just, we can just talk about it. Okay, sure, we're upset, sometimes angry, but we don't have to do it. And so what happens is there's this impulse that's destructive. And sometimes we just have to push it aside and say, maybe this doesn't satisfy my desire of getting back at the person, but in the long run, it's the most beneficial thing to do. And so Paul's talking about in this passage, and he's talking about there's these two aspects of ourselves that sort of wage war against each other. There's this, the flesh, the sinful flesh, and the spirit. And Paul gives this list of a sinful flesh that comes in. And he says this isn't a comprehensive list. He says it's things that you are well aware of. They're obvious to you. So they're things we know that what they are. And it says these things are, basically they're selfish. They're instant gratification things. They're just everything, wickedness, that in the world, if they're let loose, will just destroy the world. And then there's the things of the Spirit that are more positive, that if you let loose in the world, we actually build up the world and create a better place. That aren't selfish, that are uplifting, that are giving, that are thoughtful. And so there's these two things. And so there's this struggle sometimes. And Paul says that if you live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, means you're going to ignore these impulses. You're not going to follow them. So, you know, when you're upset, when someone says something to you, when someone's angry at you, you know, our impulse is to what? You know, hit them, or pull out our shotgun from our back of the seat, or, you know, or just to insult them back. You know, that's one side of the impulse. But on the other side is, well, maybe there's something more constructive. Maybe there's a better way to deal with it. Our more practical application is when there's one piece of Ruth's apple pie left over, and I've had six of them, and you've only had one of them, part of me is like, well, I want the last piece. I could get it faster than you guys because I have, you know, or maybe there's a better constructive way of doing, you know, maybe we can share, you know. There's every part of our life this applies. And so Paul says at the end of this passage, I read it, he says, he says, those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh, their sinful selves, and their desires and their passions, evil passions and desires. Paul uses the word crucify for a very specific reason. He doesn't say put to death or kill. He mentions crucify because he wants us to realize that this whole change of life revolves around Jesus. That his death, his life, that's what changes us. Because Jesus died, we don't have to follow this anymore. Because remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, and before Jesus, we weren't free. We couldn't get away from these passions, these evil passions, these evil desires. We couldn't get away from the selfishness we had. It was just too strong for us. And so now Jesus, it's like, because of his crucifixion, he separates us. He says, you're not controlled by this. Yes, you'll feel these things. Yes, you want to do them sometimes. But the Spirit within you is more powerful than this, and it will enable you to choose a better path. So to walk by the Spirit is to live by the Spirit, to live by the fruits of the, how those fruits of the Spirit in your life, love, joy, peace. Not to make choices of selfishness, of instant gratification. And so if you see that to walk by the Spirit is this moment by moment thing in our life, because every day we have these choices we make. When someone says something to us, I mean, how will we respond? Right, are we going to respond by the way that just wants to pour it into the person? Or maybe is there something more constructive? Can we talk about it? Or is there other options? Or when we come home from work and we have just been dumped on at work and we come home to our house, do we just dump it, everything we got from work onto our family? Or is there some better way? Is there something more that the Spirit wants us to live to do and to live by? And so every day of our kids and the patients that they try us, I mean, every day, every moment, it's this, am I going to live by the Spirit? Am I gonna succumb to these evil desires that I have? These things that are just destructive and unhealthy? Or am I gonna do something more positive? Throughout the centuries, and I guess in the Christian faith and going back even to the Jewish faith, there's been this practice that we have practiced as a faith called fasting. Now we fast because we want to grow closer to God, because it's a way of seeking Him with all our heart. But there's something else fasting does. Because when you do, and we learn about this in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is being tempted by Satan to turn this stone into bread. Jesus says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on the word of God. Jesus is saying, you know what? These impulses, this hunger I have in my stomach, I don't live on the impulses of my stomach. I live on God's word. And so what happens is, as you fast, you begin to realize that if you could ignore your hunger pains for a little bit, that if you're not controlled by your hunger pains, but you're controlled by God, then maybe that could expand to other areas in your life. Because it's like this conditioning thing. As you fast, you grow closer to God, and as you growl, and you say, okay, I'm not doing that. I'm living on the word of God today. Well, maybe that could spread to other areas. So when you try it, and when you want to respond in a certain way, and there's this impulse, you just gotta nail it to them. You can say, you know what, that impulse doesn't drive my life. I'm not controlled by that anymore. I'm gonna live by the Spirit. So I encourage you that if there's maybe something you struggle with, maybe an impulse that you have, maybe you like to dump on people, that maybe you like to get angry, maybe you're easily frustrated, maybe there's just some impulses you have that are wrong. Try fasting as a way of conditioning. It'll grow you closer to God, but it'll teach you that you're not controlled by these things anymore. Jesus has separated those from you. What is it that you deal with, right? What is it that you struggle with? What are the things that you know are wrong that aren't of the Spirit? If we want to be people who live in freedom and walk by the Spirit, we have to know these day by day with our knowledge of what they are and live by them.
Hey, Julie, how are you?
Oh, hey, Chris. I haven't seen you in forever.
Hey, long time.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to catch up at the cafe and sit down and talk?
Yeah, sure. That sounds
cool.
Great.
All right. So what's been going on?
Oh, not much. I'm going to college now and stuff, but how are you?
Good. Actually, something major's happened in my life. Last month, I gave myself my life to the Lord. I'm a born-again Christian.
Really?
Awesome.
I've been kind of thinking about that, but actually last night on American Idol, someone sang a gospel song.
American Idol?
Yeah.
I had to give that a, you know, think about the name American Idol. God said you can't have any idols before Him, so I had to give that a...
Oh, really? Well, what about other TV shows?
Actually, TV in general. TV is kind of made by a corrupt world, and it'll corrupt your mind if you watch it. So I gave up TV.
Oh,
feel pretty
really?
Good.
Wow. Well, what about movies? Because there's a really great movie out that I wanted to see.
Same thing. Gosh, that stuff will poison the mind.
Jeez. Well, do you want to get some food? Because I'm kind of hungry.
We're at Chuck E's, right?
Yeah.
I just found out that it's actually owned by a non-Christian. And so I can't support him or give him any money.
Really?
So we can sit here, but we can't buy anything.
Wow.
I just can't give money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what are you doing this weekend? I know a great karaoke bar, and I know you always love to sing.
Did you say bar?
Yeah.
Like as in beer?
Yeah.
I can't be around people that drink. I have to stay at least 50 feet. Parameter. I can't be near it. It'll make me look bad, and I have to hold on.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Well, on Friday, my friends and I are going putt-putt golfing. You want to join us?
Ooh, Friday. Actually, on Friday, I pray for all those sinners out there. They're about to head out for the weekend and do horrible, just crazy things. I've got to get on my knees and intercess all Friday night. It's tough. It's a lot of work. But
wow, okay.
Awesome.
Well, there's a basketball game coming to the Civic Center.
Oh, man. Do you remember the Colosseum in Rome and what they did to the Christians? Well, modern-day sports is no different than a Colosseum. People just out there, it's evil. I can't believe people sit there and watch this kind of thing and cheer that on.
Okay, well, I should probably go.
Hey, do you want to come to church this Sunday? I'm sure great things can happen.
I don't think so. I'll see you around.
Okay, well, if you change your mind.
Okay, bye.
Turns me to 1 Timothy. Every once in a while, when we talk about 1 Timothy chapter 4, when we talk about crucifying your passions and desires, an image like this comes up of what it means to be a Christian. I mean, maybe you've heard it, maybe before you're a Christian, someone talks about becoming a Christian, and all of a sudden, being a Christian is all these things that you can't do. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and well, I can't do that. And all of a sudden, you can't have any fun. Your passions, the things you enjoy, all of a sudden, they're gone. And some people, sometimes when you talk about crucifying your passions and desires, this is the image that comes up of just a boring life, and that just sort of turns off anyone you talk to about the faith. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's in a city. Well, let me read you what he's reading. Let me read you what he wrote. Now the Holy Spirit clearly says that in later times some people will stop believing the faith. They will follow spirits that lie and teachings of demons. Some teachings come from false words of liars whose consciences are destroyed as if by a hot iron. They forbid people to marry, and they tell them not to eat certain foods which God created to be eaten with thanks by people who believe and know the truth. And so Paul's writing Timothy, and let me tell you what's going on in the city that Timothy's at. In this city, there's a big temple for another god besides our God, and they worship other gods. And in the temple, they have prostitutes, where part of worship is going to prostitutes. And also at the same time, they have these temple. They sacrifice food in the temple, and people could come and buy this food for cheaper. And so there are these teachers that are coming, and they see these wicked things that people are doing. Right, they're going to the temple and eating the food and doing the stuff they do in the temple, and they're saying, don't marry, because they see that, in a sense, that what they're doing is wrong. So they're saying, well, just don't marry at all, because we're such a corrupt world where the sensuality is so distorted. Just don't marry at all, and don't eat this food at all. And so Paul's writing to these believers, and he's writing in direct response to what these people are saying. And he's saying, don't cut out marriage because some people are using it wrongly. Don't cut out this food because people are worshiping it to other idols. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. And he's saying, there's nothing wrong, in a sense, with sexuality. But it's when you use it the wrong way, when you do it wrong. There's nothing wrong with this food, but when your desires are for the wrong way, when your desires are corrupt. And so what Paul's saying here is that there's these desires that you have, that sometimes you try to fulfill them in a very wrong way. It's a way of the sinful flesh. But the truth is, God gave you desires, and there's a right way, there's a pure and holy way to fulfill those desires you have. So we think sometimes about, like, when you want revenge on somebody, you want to get somebody back. At the core of that desire for revenge is something actually good. It's justice. God is a God of justice. But revenge, of getting it your own way of how you want it, that's taking that desire for something that is good and making it evil and wicked. Where there's a better way to do it. There's a better way to respond when someone wrongs you. And so we have this. And of course, these people worship idols, all right? It's a good to worship. There's this desire to worship something greater than them, someone who created. But these people have twisted it and used it to worship these images of wood and gold. But God says, no, you've perverted that desire, but I want you to purify that desire. Use it for something good. Worship me. And so oftentimes when we talk about crucifying your flesh and your passions, people say, well, just cut it all out. And so we think that maybe Christians is this boring life, but it's not true. You keep your passions and your desires, but they purify. All the sinful acts, the simple ways of carrying them out, you do away with those, and now there's a pure and there's a good way and there's a fulfilling way to reach and fulfill those desires and those passions you have in your life. And that will be a lot more fulfilling than converting them and perverting them for evil. So our faith in Christian doesn't mean we get rid of our desires and our passions, but to be a Christian is to fulfill them in the way that God created us to do and fulfill them, fulfill them in. Our passions, being a Christian is to fulfill our passions and desires the original way God intended when he created us. So it's not to, so being a Christian isn't do this, don't do this, don't do that, but it's here's a greater way to live your life. Here's a greater way for fulfillment. And I can't say what it is in your life. I don't know all the passions and the desires that God has in your life. I don't know if you're using your passions and desires and if you're using them, trying to fulfill them in some wicked way. But I know that God, in somehow, in some way, he will reveal to you the way, the pure way and the right way and the fulfilling way for your passions and desires. So we to live by the Spirit isn't to say, forget this, but it's okay. Guide me. What is it that you want? It's not a list of don't do this and don't do that. It's a list of, okay, what's the best thing I can do? And the Spirit will lead you. Are you walking by the Spirit? Are you choosing what is good, what is pure, what is love, the fruits of the Spirit? Are you responding in goodness? Are you gentle? Are you patient? Do you find yourself responding in those areas, or are you responding out of this selfish, out of this wickedness, out of this self-gratification stuff? How are you responding? Because if you want to live in freedom, you've got to walk by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we want to walk in your Spirit. We want to be controlled by your Spirit. And so we don't want these impulses, these wicked impulses we have to control our life. We don't want these things. We want to be separated from them. We want your freedom. And we want your power and your Spirit to empower us to make the right choices and to know what those choices are. God, if we are doing anything destructive, if our habits are anything wrong or sinful, God, you show us and reveal to us so we can begin to live in freedom and we can walk by your Spirit. And in your name we pray, amen.